Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ba'd. This lecture today, inshallah ta'ala, Sheikh Abdul Aziz Al-Bura'i will discuss the life of Sheikh Muqbil ibn Hadi Al-Wada'i, rahimahullah, and his minhaj and his aqeedah. His minhaj and his aqeedah. Fayatafadl, Sheikh.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد فكلامنا عن الشيخ مقبل بن هادي رحمة الله تعالى عليه لمحات فقط من حياته التي امتلأت بالتضحيات في الدعوة إلى الله عز وجل والجهد المتواصل في العلم والعمل والدعوة. الشيخ مقبل هو أبو عبد الرحمن مقبل ابن هادي ابن مقبل الوادعي نسبة إلى وادعة بطن من بطون همدان، وهي من القبائل العربية المعروفة قديما وحديثا، ومنها مسروق بن الأجدع الوادعي أحد التابعين يروي عن عائشة أم المؤمنين، ومنها وهو من همدان عامر بن شراحيل الشعبي من شعب همدان وغيرهم من العلماء الهمدانيين. الشيخ مقبل رحمة الله تعالى عليه نشأ في بلده وتعلم في بداية أمره بعض علوم اللغة العربية على أيدي الشيعة، ثم انتقل إلى المملكة وعاش بها فترة من الزمن، درس في دار الحديث بمكة أو في معهد الحرم، ثم انتقل إلى الجامعة الإسلامية وكانت شهادته الجامعية كتاب أسباب النزول، ثم شهادة الماجستير في علم الحديث بكتابي الإلزامات والتتبع للدارقطني تحقيق الدراسة، ثم رجع إلى اليمن في عام 1399 هجرية، وكان شأنه مع الشيعة كشأن موسى وفرعون، فقد تربى موسى في بيت فرعون ثم رجع نقمة عليه وبلاء عليه، وهو بدأ من عند الشيعة ثم رجع إليهم فأذاقهم الأمرين.
بسم الله الحمد لله. شيخ عبد العزيز البرعي حفظه الله, after saying Khudat al-Haja, to now talk about the great scholar Sheikh Muqbil رحمه الله رحمة واسعة, is really glimpses that we would take from his life. A life full of sacrifices for the sake of Islam. A life full of struggling for da'wah and for ilm, knowledge, and for acting upon that knowledge. He said he is Abu Abdurrahman Muqbil ibn Hadi ibn Muqbil al-Wada'i. And al-Wada'i is a great well-known tribe amongst the Arabs that is well-known to this day. He said amongst them is Masruq ibn Ash'ath al-Wada'i, who was a tabi'i, who relates from Aisha radiallahu anhu. And amongst some other well-known narrators of the Hamdaniyin, which are great narrators of hadith. So it's a well-known tribe with well-known famous individuals that are part of it. He said the Shaykh rahimahullah grew up in his country, and he first started learning some various parts of the Arabic language or sciences of the Arabic language on the hand of the Shia. And then he was blessed by Allah Ta'ala to go to the Mamlakat al-Arabiya Saudiya, or the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And there he learnt in Dar al-Hadith al-Khairiya, or the studies of the Haram in Mecca. And then from there he went on to Islamic University of Medina, wherein he wrote two studies, one which wound up being books, of course, and one of them which he achieved his master's in, and that was Asbab al-Nuzul, authentic sources for the reasons why things were revealed or verses were revealed. And the other one was a book about the by Dharqutni regarding the science of hadith, al-ilzamat wa tatabba', or following in the narrations of hadith. Then he returned back to the land of Yemen in 1399 after Hijrah, and he said his condition with the Shia was like the condition of Musa alayhi salam with Fir'aun. How Musa was raised with Fir'aun, and then he came back to Fir'aun as a hardship and an enemy to him. He said this is how Sheikh Muqbil did. Even though he was raised by the Shia, he came back when he returned and he was for them something very difficult to deal with, and he was an enemy to them and he was a problem for them.
لم يكن اليمن يعرف آنذاك غير دعوة التشيع التي مكثت في اليمن منذ 1200 سنة تقريبا, ودعوة التصوف التي هي قريبة المدة من مدة الشيعة, ودعوة الإخوان المسلمين. هذه الدعوات الثلاث التي كانت موجودة في بداية دعوة الشيخ مقبل في اليمن, ولم يكن التصوف يشعرون بالخطر آنذاك لأن منطقتهم بعيدة عن مناطق الشيخ, ومنطقته كانت على طريقة الزيدية الشيعة. وكان الإخوان المسلمون إذا ظهر من الشيخ أمر حسن يحبه الناس نسبوه إلى أنفسهم, وإذا ظهر من الشيخ أمر يستنكره المبتدعة ويصرخون منه قالوا هذا مقبل وأصحابه من جماعة التكفير ليسوا منا. حتى ألف الشيخ كتابه المخرج من الفتنة, فكان بمثابة عصا قشرها لهم وأبان باطلهم وزيفهم وجرد دعوتهم من دعوتهم, فعرف الناس دعوة الشيخ. وقد عاش غريبا في بداية الأمر, ما كان لديه أحد من طلبة العلم, وما كان إلا بانفراده وليس لديه من الكتب سوى رياض الصالحين, وبقي حتى تعرف عليه بعض طلبة العلم من المصريين, ثم توافد إليه طلاب العلم شيئا فشيئا وتكاثروا شيئا فشيئا, فبدأوا بالواحد والاثنين والخمسة والستة إلى العشرة إلى العشرين, وهكذا حتى تعرف الناس على دعوة الشيخ. ولم يكن الناس يبذلون من أبنائهم من كان ذا ذكاء وفطنة في أول الأمر, حتى عرف الناس قيمة العلم الذي لدى الشيخ, فجادوا بفلذات أكبادهم ممن أصبحوا الآن محققين ومؤلفين وخطباء وقائمين بالدعوة وبمراكز كما سيأتي إن شاء الله.
So, in the beginning of the da'wah of Sheikh Muqbil, rahimahullah, in that area of the world, Yemen, he said that nothing was known from any of the groups except the Shia or Shiaism. And they had been there over 1,200 years. And besides them, nothing was known besides them other than the Sufis, who were basically along the same amount of time or period of time that the Sufis, that Shia had been there, close to 1,200 years. And thirdly, Ikhwan al-Muslimun, and these were the three groups. In the beginning, the Sheikh, rahimahullah, didn't give much concern to the Sufis, for they were far away from his area. And his area is basically an area where there was a Zaydiyah from amongst the Shia. And the position that Ikhwan al-Muslimun had with the Sheikh was that if the Sheikh did something good, and the people praised them for it and liked it, then they would say, Sheikh Muqbil's from us, and he's with us, and he's proud of us. And if the Sheikh did something that the people disliked, and the people talked about in a negative way, then the Ikhwan Muslim would say, Sheikh Muqbil and his group, that's something they do. They're the takfiris. They have nothing to do with us. And like this. So he said, the Sheikh was on this level until he wrote his book, Makhraj Min Al-Fitn, yani, or a fitna, yani, an exit from the trials and tribulations that the Muslims find themselves in. That was like a stick that beat down all of the innovators and exposed them. And the Sheikh at that time, among the books that he was reading from and teaching from, Riyad al-Salihin. And from time to time, people became aware of him. Some students of knowledge became aware of him from Egypt and other places. And so one or two gathered with them. Then 10 gathered with them. Then 20 gathered with them. And this was the beginning of the da'wah of the Sheikh, rahimahullah. And to such a degree that the people didn't used to send their intelligent and smart children to sit with the Sheikh because they didn't know the level of the knowledge that he was teaching. But once they became aware of that, they started to send their children, and they started to send the intelligent children to learn from him. And these children are the ones who at the present day are the scholars and who are the speakers and who are those who give lectures and who write books now today. So this is something that has occurred, alhamdulillah.
الشيخ مقبل رحمة الله تعالى عليه كان على عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة في أركان الإيمان ستة، فلم يكن معتنقا لأي شيء سوى ما عليه السلف الصالح في أسماء الله وصفاته، في الملائكة، في القدر، في المعاد، في عذاب القبر، في أحاديث الآحاد، في آل بيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، في صحابته وقرابته عامة، في غير ذلك من أمور العقيدة، ما كان عنده إلا ما عليه أهل السنة والجماعة لا سيما وهو قد تتلمذ على الشيخين الألباني وابن باز في الجامعة الإسلامية رحمهما الله جميعا. وكان في دعوته أيضا سائرا على ما سار عليه هذان الشيخان وغيرهما، فالتهمة عليه حاصلة بانتسابه إليهم، وإن كان هو يعتبرهم من علماء المسلمين ويأخذ من أقوالهم ما ظهر له أنه موافق للحق، ودعا إلى التوحيد الذي دعا إليه النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، ودعا إليه العلماء عصرا بعد عصر. فما كان يرضى عنه الصوفية ولا كان يرضى عنه الشيعة، وكان يحارب التصوف والتشيع بمظهريه المتقارب حينا والمتباعد حينا آخر. فالشيعة يتهمونه بأنه يكره آل بيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لأن المتبنين للتشيع في اليمن هم ذرية النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم ممن سلكوا غير مسلكه، ولكنه ظل ما بين حين وآخر يتكلم عن فضائل آل بيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، ويتهمونه بأنه يبغض علي بن أبي طالب وبأنه من أنصار معاوية ونحو ذلك من الحكايات التي باءت بالفشل التي جاء بها الشيعة. وهكذا الصوفية يوم أن طالت يد الشيخ إليهم وتناولتهم دعوته وبين ما هم عليه من الضلال والزيغ والانحراف، اتهموه بأنه يبغض أولياء الله، يوم أن يحذر من دعاء غير الله ويحذر من التمسح بأتربة الموتى وبناء القباب على القبور والطواف عليها أو الذبح عندها، أو يحذر من السحر والشعوذة التي اتسم به الصوفية وهم ما بين مقل ومكثر في ذلك، نفروا فيه أشد النفرة، ولكن نفورهم عنه يؤكد لنا صحة منهجه الذي سار عليه. وهكذا الإخوان المسلمون حاولوا أن يستقطبوا دعوة الشيخ وأن يجعلوه موظفا من موظفيهم، كما فعلوا بكثير ممن تخرج من الجامعة الإسلامية الذين وضعوهم في أقفاصهم وشباكهم ووظفوهم في وظائف من لديهم، إما أن يكون مديرا لمعهد أو مشرفا أو مدرسا أو نحو ذلك. ولكن الشيخ رحمة الله عليه لم يكن لقمة سائغة لهم، بل بين ما هم عليه من الزيغ والانحراف، فرماه الصوفية والشيعة والإخوان المسلمين رموه عن قوس واحدة، واحتمل ذلك كله، ولم تأخذه في الله لومة لائم.
ذي عقيدة الشيخ مقبل رحمه الله رحمة واسعة، إذا عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة عقيدة السلف الصالح، he did not go out of that not one iota in the issues of the arkan of iman as-sitt, or the six pillars of iman. His aqeedah regarding the names and qualities of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala was the aqeedah of the salaf salih. His aqeedah regarding the malaika, the angels, was the aqeedah of the salaf salih. His aqeedah regarding qadr, regarding the day of resurrection, regarding hadith al-ahad, regarding Ahl al-Bayt, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding all the general matters of aqeedah, was according to the way of the Salaf, the way of the Salaf al-Salih. And this is nothing that is strange, since he studied with the two sheikhs, the sheikhan, Sheikh al-Albani wa Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahum Allah, may Allah have mercy upon all of them. And they were his two sheikhs at the Islamic University of Medina, and he benefited from them and took a lot from them and was up on their path in their way. So there's no doubt that he was accused of being connected to them. He said, whereas in reality, Sheikh Muqbil just saw it as they were scholars of Islam, and he would take from them that which agreed with the legislation, and that which did not agree to him or wasn't according with the evidence, he would reject. And his call was the call of the prophets of Allah, the call to Tawheed. And this is a call of generations of Muslims from generation to generation, those who are upon uprightness and those who are upon the way of the Salaf Salih. And of course, he was not pleased, or the Shia and the Sufis and the Ikhwan al-Muslimun were not pleased with him. And because of them being displeased with him, they would accuse him of many issues. Because he warned against Shiaism, and he warned against the Tasawwuf. So when he warned against the Shia started to accuse him of not loving the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Particularly because those Shia in Yemen, many of them are from the progeny of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they have chosen other than the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though the Sheikh, rahimahullah, would oftentimes have lectures about the virtues of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would still accuse him of this issue, the Shia. Similarly, they would say that he was against Ali ibn Abi Talib and he was on the side of Muawiyah. And such false accusations such as this, which the Sheikh rahimahullah was innocent of. Similarly, the Sufis, when his da'wah started to attack them in the sense that he had to mention them and what they're up on, then they would say he's against the allies of Rahman, or he's against the allies of Allah and the righteous people. Whereas what the Sheikh rahimahullah was against was their du'a of other than Allah, and their rubbing or wiping over the graves, and their making tawaf at the graves, and the slaughtering at the graves, and the sorcery and other things that they were involved in. This is what he was against. But the Sufi who say he had absence of a love and a hatred for the righteous, and so on and so forth. Similarly, Ikhwan Muslimun just wanted the Sheikh to be one of their workers, as they would do with many of those who graduated from the Islamic University of Medina. They would come and make him a mudir, a director, or make him a mushrif or something, put him in their organization and have him work for them. Well, the Sheikh Rahimullah refused all of that. The Sheikh Rahimullah refused all of that. And he exposed Ikhwan Muslimun and their faults and their mistaken way, and that their methodology was not that methodology that was in accordance with the way of the Salaf. So he was accused, Rahimullah, and slandered and mistreated from one bow, from these three groups. The Sufis and those of Tasawwuf, the Shia, and Ikhwan Muslimun.
كان الشيخ رحمه الله إذا اقتنع بأمر يكون قوي الثبات عليه لا يبالي بمن خالفه قل أم كثر، شجاعا في إظهار الحق، لا يلتفت يمينا ولا شمالا سواء نصره الناس أم خذلوه، مما يجعل الذين من بعده يسيرون وراءه سيرا حثيثا، وذلك هو سير الشجعان. وهذا شيء شاءه الله عز وجل، لأن الوضع الذي هو فيه يقتضي ذلك، مخذول من قبل الحكام ومعادى من قبل المبتدعة، وتكاد دعوة أهل السنة أن تكون مفقودة من الساحة. فلهذا قيضه الله عز وجل بهذه الشجاعة وبهذا الإقدام، و ربما يخرج من بعض المساجد فلا يبالي بذلك، ربما يذهب إلى المحاضرة في بلاد يكون أهلها من الشيعة فيرفضون استقباله، فيخرج ويذهب إلى مسجد آخر أو إلى مكان آخر دون أن يكون هناك انكسار في النفس أو انثناء، بل عزيمة لا تنثني ولا يتراجع ولا يبالي بصنيعهم هذا كله، وهو يعلم أنهم سيندحرون اليوم أو غدا أو بعد غد. وهكذا بارك الله فيكم انتشرت دعوته، وكان يتنقل في المدن من مدينة إلى أخرى، ربما يكون معه الرجل أو الرجلان أو الثلاثة، هذا في بداية الأمر. وتحسنت الأمور شيئا فشيئا، وبدأ يجد الأنصار والأعوان من هنا ومن هناك، ثم إن دروسه بحمد الله جل وعلا مليئة بالفوائد، دروس مباركة، مع أنك تلحظ أنه قليل التكلف في إلقاء الدروس. فلو حاول طالب أن يكتب جميع ما يسمع من الفوائد لاحتاج أن يكتب أكثر الدرس، فربما كان أكثر وقت الدرس مناقشة وأسئلة وأخذ ورد، فيستيقظ النائم وينتبه الغافل، ويرجع الطالب بالفوائد الكثيرة، مما جعلت طلبة العلم يستفيدون في وقت قريب، فإنه لا يدع المعلومات في رؤوسهم كما هي، بل إنه يظل يناقشها شيئا بعد شيء.
So this is truly the way was the way of the Sheikh, and he was of those that did not fear the blame of the blamers, and he stayed up on this way. It was the quality of the Sheikh, or distinguishing characteristic of his, that if he decided upon something, that something was the truth, that he stayed steadfast upon it, and he was strong upon it. And he didn't care who was opposite to this, or who was at variance with this, whether it was a small amount of people or a large amount of people, for he was courageous. He did not look to the left or to the right. Once he decided that a matter was something that was true, he would be, remain steadfast upon that. And he would not care whether people accept it or reject it. This was his way. And those who are coming after him, rahimahullah, this is their way. The courageous way. The way of being steadfast and standing for the truth and not caring about anyone or anything else. And this is what was needed for that particular place and that particular situation, for it was a place where the people was forsaken, or by the hukam, or the da'i and the sunnah was forsaken, the da'i, the call of the sunnah is forsaken by the rulers, and also he is considered enemy by the innovators. So it required someone who had this form of courage. He said the Shaykh rahimahullah would go from city to city and go to a different masajid, and he would be sometimes kicked out of masajid, and he wouldn't pay that any mind, but he would go on to another masjid or another place, maybe because that particular masjid was surrounded or supported or supervised or whatever, ran by the Shia, and he would be rejected from there. He would go to another masjid, and like this continuously, and he would not try to defend his self in a sense of defending himself for the sake of himself, but his concern was calling to Allah Ta'ala. And he would do this sometimes, going from city to city with one person or two persons or three persons with him in the beginning of the matter. And if they would accept him, then that was fine. And if they would reject him, then he would continue up on his call. Until such time that Allah Ta'ala brought about men and supporters for him and companions for him who would support his cause and his da'wah. And the lectures of the Shaykh rahimahullah were such that they were filled with all types of benefits. They were mubarak. They were blessed sittings. They were blessed lessons. Even though the ones who listens to the lecture of the Shaykh can see that he wasn't placing upon himself more than that which is required. But rather, he said that if the student wanted to write everything, if the student wanted to write everything that the Shaykh said, he would have to start writing for the every benefit. He would have to start writing from the beginning of what the Shaykh said to the end, because most of his lectures was discussion, was give and take, was asking and hearing the answer. And so in this way, the person who was sleeping would wake up, and the person who was negligent or unaware would be made aware. And there were many benefits. And this is why those who were his students were able to acquire a lot of knowledge in a small period of time. Because he would not allow this information to be some information that's just in their head, but he would visit this information from time to time by way of discussion, so that it would become something live and something that they will remember and something that they would recall.
استمرت دعوة الشيخ في اليمن نحو 23 عاما وألف في أثنائها كتبا كثيرة من أبرزها الصحيح المسند مما ليس في الصحيحين الذي رتبه على المسانيد ثم رتبه على الأبواب الفقهية الجامع الصحيح مما ليس في الصحيحين اقتصر فيه على شرط البخاري وأن لا يذكر فيه إلا صحيحا لذاته أو صحيحا لغيره أو حسنا لذاته وكذلك الكتاب الصحيح المسند من دلائل النبوة الصحيح المسند في القدر التعليق على كتاب الحاكم المستدرك فيما سكت عنه الإمام الذهبي رجال الحاكم رجال الدارقطني وكذلك ألف كتبا أخرى بعضها نقلت من أشرطة وبعضها تصدى فيها للتأليف مثل كتابه المخرج من الفتنة والمصارعة وقمع المعاند وكذلك إرشاد ذوي الفطن لإبعاد غلاة الروافض من اليمن وكذلك كتاب صعقة الزلزال على أهل الرفض والاعتزال الذي فضحهم فيه وتكلم فيه على علماء الشيعة ونقل كلام العلماء فيهم وتكذيبهم وإظهار ضلالهم وزيغهم ومنهم السحرة ومنهم الكذابون وغير ذلك مما كان له صعقة في رؤوسهم كصعقة الزلزال حقا وله تحقيق على المجلد الأول والثاني من تفسير ابن كثير، وله كتب ورسائل أخرى إضافة إلى ثروة هائلة من الأشرطة تزيد على 1300 شريط أو 1500 شريط، وهي موجودة في المكتبات في اليمن يتداولها الناس. وهذا المجهود العلمي على مدى هذه السنوات كان له بحمد الله عز وجل الأثر الكبير على الشعب اليمني لما فيه من النصح الصادق والبيان للحق والصدع به غير مبالاة بجميع من في اليمن، فهو ناصح للحاكم والمحكوم وناصح للسن والمبتدع وللغني والفقير وجميع الناس.
He said, the da'wah of the Sheikh, Sheikh Muqbil, rahimahullah, extended for a 23-year period in the area of Yemen, 23 years. And along with this, he wrote many books, and there were recorded for him many cassette recordings or many tapes that enter into the hundreds. Amongst his books are his Sahih al-Musnad, that those that are not mentioned in the two books of the Sahihain. He placed this in a Musnad form according to the Isnad, mentioning the Sahabi. And he's also placed it in the Fiqhi form in the manner of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. Both are available. And his condition for this book was that he would do that which Imam Bukhari had as condition, that he would only mention in it that hadith was Sahih li dhatihi, or the hadith that was sahih because of other narrations, or the hadith which was hasan by itself, or lidatihi. And he also had books dealing with all the narrations on a musnad form of Qadr, and musnad form of ad-dala'il, or the evidences of the nabuwa, of prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He also had books dealing with the book of Hakim and those things that Zahabi did not point out or did make not narrated that Zahabi did not make a comment regarding. Also books dealing with the Rijal of Hakim and the Rijal of Darqutni. Also of course his book Makhraj from the Fitna, and then his many responses upon the Rafida. And he has two or three books dealing with the Ghulat, the extreme Rafida. And he has books dealing with the Rawafid and the people of I'tizal, in which he exposes the ulama of the Shia and what the scholars have said about the Shia and how they're liars and sorcerers and magicians and the like. And many of his books were taken from tapes also. And they were taken and dictated and written down and produced in book form. And he also has tahqiq, or has checked the couple volumes of Ibn Kathir and many, many other works or other books. And his tapes are in the hundreds also, to such a degree where this da'wah of the Sheikh was continuous in this regard, writing and recording and giving lectures and so on and so forth, until it had a great effect. This manner that it affected all of Yemen, that he stood with the truth, not being concerned about anyone who was opposed to it from the people. And he gave nasiha, or advised the ruler and the ruled, advised the Sunni and the innovator, advised the rich and the poor. He advised everyone and called everyone to that which was the truth. And this effect of his da'wah is seen for those who have visited that area, or for those who have heard of it, or for those who have or benefited from his tapes or his books.
لقد بذل أعداء السنة جهودهم الطويلة في وأد دعوة الشيخ، وحاولوا جاهدين بشتى الوسائل من أصناف المبتدعة، حاولوا فيها من بداية الأمر، وحاولوا قتل الشيخ غير مرة، ولكن الله عز وجل كتب له أن يموت على فراشه. بل إن الشيعة وضعوا لمسجد من مساجد السنة في مدينة صعدة أكثر من 50 لغما بشرك واحد من أجل أن تنفجر في آن واحد، فانفجر منها 2 وفسدت البقية، وحاولوا أن يقتلوه أو يضربوه في مسجد الهادي في صعدة ونجاه الله. وهكذا جاء أحد الحاقدين من جبل مشرف وضرب على بيوت طلبة العلم بسلاح الار بي جي ثم فر ولم يوقف له على عين ولا أثر. وهكذا يوم أن كان الشيخ رحمة الله تعالى عليه في مسجد الرحمة أو الرحمن في عدن في المنصورة، دخل أحد الناس وكان يريد أن يفجر لغما قد زرعه في جسمه أو ربطه في جسمه، ولكنه لم يتم، فخرج لإصلاحه في خارج المسجد فانفجر به هناك، وقد رآه الناس وقد دخل إلى المسجد ثم خرج. وسلم الله عز وجل الشيخ، وبينما الناس في ذعر ومنهم الذي قد نام على الأرض والذي خرج هاربا، إذا بالشيخ يقف ويأخذ بالميكروفون ويصرخ في الناس ويقول: لا تخافوا، هم يريدونني أنا لا يريدونكم أنتم. ويطمئن الناس وهو في هذا الظرف الحالك ولا يبرح مكانه ولا يتجاوزه، مما يدل على شجاعته وجرأته. فهذه المحاولات التي ظهرت وقد خفي من المحاولات الذي يعلمه الله عز وجل، مما يدل على أن المبتدعة غصوا بريقهم من دعوة الشيخ رحمة الله تعالى عليه.
Also he said, the Shaykh rahimahullah had many enemies from the innovators, enemies of the Shaykh and his call to the Sunnah and his da'wah to the Sunnah. So he experienced many of these issues from all types of innovators, and they tried many means to harm the Shaykh, to kill the Shaykh, to assassinate the Shaykh. But Allah ta'ala saved the Shaykh from all of that, until the Shaykh died upon his bed, rahimahullah. But he mentions a time where he went to a particular masjid in Saada, and individuals had placed 50 bombs in there, and hoping that they would set them all off at the same time, and only one or two of them exploded, and the Shaykh, rahimahullah, was not harmed. Similarly, another masjid, or a masjid called Hadi also, which was in Saada, in which he said the same type of incident occurred. The same type of incident occurred. And he mentions also a situation in Aden, in which an individual intended to blow up the Sheikh by placing explosive upon his body. And he went into the masjid, and the people actually saw him go into the masjid. And obviously there was some problem with the explosion, so he went out to correct him. When he tried to correct him, he blew himself up outside of the masjid. And the people saw this, and the Shaykh rahimahullah was safe. Also, he said someone came down from a mountain, some enemy came down and used some type of weaponry and shot at the houses of the various students of the Shaykh. These were some of the events, and many more, he said, but where Allah ta'ala protected the Shaykh, and the Shaykh rahimahullah was protected. He said many times people were in a state of fear and could not sleep and whatever, and the Shaykh will get on a microphone and say, relax, don't worry, they want me, they don't desire you, they want to harm me. And he would stay in his particular position, he would not move, showing his courage, showing his dependence upon Allah ta'ala. These are some of the things that the innovators wanted to do. They wanted to assassinate, they wanted to eliminate, they wanted to kill and get rid of the Shaykh. And these are some of the things that are known, and many, many more plottings and trickeries that are unknown, that are hidden. So that shows that the dawah of the Shaykh was something that bothered the innovators. It irritated innovators to this degree that they wanted to do away with him. But yet the Shaykh, rahimahullah, was protected by Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala.
هذا مجهود من مجهودات المبتدعة وأعداء السنة، ولهم جهود أخرى بذلوها لضرب دعوة الشيخ، منها ما يشيعه الإخوان المسلمون وأصحاب جمعية الحكمة أن الشيخ وطلابه عملاء للموساد، وبعضهم يقول للمخابرات الأمريكية، وبعضهم يقول عملاء للحكومة. هذه الأشياء يقولونها نظما ونثرا، وجدت حتى في الشعر، وينشرونها في أوساط الناس على أنها في الحقيقة، تعلمون أنه ما يعرف شخص أن شخصا يعمل في منظمة مثل الموساد إلا إذا كان واحدا منهم، فلو أنهم تنبهوا لعلموا أنها تهمة لهم. فهل هم شغالون في الموساد حتى أنهم عرفوا انتساب الشيخ إلى الموساد؟ وهكذا بارك الله فيكم، هي نزعة جاهلية. قال الله عز وجل: ولقد نعلم أنهم يقولون إنما يعلمه بشر، لسان الذي يلحدون إليه أعجمي وهذا لسان عربي مبين. فالمشركون قديما قالوا عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بأنه عميل للأعاجم، وأنه يتلقى التعليمات من علماء النصارى، فما أشبه قول أولئك بقول هؤلاء الذين يقولون إنه عميل للأعاجم أيضا من اليهود والنصارى. فلأن المؤدى الطعن في سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم كانت التهمتان متحدة. وأما قولهم بأنه عميل للحكومة فهذا أيضا من التخبط. العجيب أن الذي منتظم مع الحكومة هم، وأن الذي تحت لجنة الأحزاب هم، وأنهم هم الذين وقعوا على الدستور ووقعوا على القوانين الحزبية والقوانين الديمقراطية، وهم الذين دخلوا في البرلمانات والانتخابات، وأهل السنة معتزلون لذلك. فأي الفريقين أحق بالتهمة إذن؟ ولكن يوم أن كانت الحكومة تحاربهم لأنهم ينازعون الحاكم سلطانه، ونحن نبين ما هم عليه من الضلال دفاعا عن الأحاديث والآيات، دفاعا عن ديننا، فهم يشعرون أنهم يسحبون من جانبين. فما شأننا نحن السلطات تخاف على سلطانها، ونحن نخاف على ديننا؟ فمن عرض نفسه لمثل هذه الأمور فليحتمل ما جاءه. فلهذا لم يجدوا حلا إلا التشويه بهذه الصورة، والله المستعان.
So this means of assassination and trying to kill the sheikh and trying to assassinate him and whatever. This is one of the efforts that the innovators had, one means or one direction that they took. Another means or direction that they used was to make lies about the Sheikh Rahimullah and his students, to say that they, and this is coming from Ikhwan Muslimin and the Jamiyat al-Hikmah, that the Sheikh and his students work for Israeli intelligence or the Mossad, or they work for American intelligence and these type of things, or that they work for the rulers. And they spread this type of things in poetry and in the form of the poems and everything else amongst the people. In reality, Sheikh Abdul Aziz Abura'i Hafizullah states that if they were to look at this, this is in fact an accusation against themselves. For who knows who works in these type of systems and with these type of governments and spy rings and this type of thing, except someone himself who is working with them. So if they looked at it in the real sense of the word, they would see that they are accusing themselves of the very same thing by the fact that they claim that they have knowledge of this. So he said, you must know, may Allah bless you, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was accused, this matter is a matter of the means of the people of Jahiliyyah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam Could you please move a white van carrier registered Y83GHK? This is urgent. Uqbil Rahimullah. And the only reason these two accusations are similar is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sunnah represents the sunnah, and the Muqbil, Sheikh Muqbil Rahimullah, was up on the sunnah. So the accusations are the same, and this is not something strange. Another matter that they say is that he worked for the government. And he said this is something that's really astonishing. For the individuals who are involved in the institutions and the matters of the government are these various groups, these various Ikhwani groups. They are the ones who want to enter the parliament. They are the ones who signs up on the constitutions. They are the ones who want to get involved in elections and so on and so forth. And whereas the Sheikh and his students were far removed from all of that and from any functions within the government or any type of work with the government. So who is the first one to be, who has the right, rather, to be accused of working with the government? He said the thing that made them probably fall into this is that when they tried to compete with the rulers for positions of authority, the rulers fought against them and talked about them. And at the same time, the Sheikh Rahimullah and his students were speaking against their way with evidences from Quran and from Sunnah, and speaking that their way was not correct. So they were getting it from the right and from the left, or from the Sheikh and also from the ruler. So they come up with this accusation. Whereas in reality, the Sheikh Rahimullah and his students were far away from anything to do with those issues of the government or anybody. And if the accusation was to be made towards anyone, it should be made towards them. For they're the ones who are involved in the parliaments and elections and so on and so forth.
من الأمور التي بذلها أعداء دعوة الشيخ لضرب دعوته أن هناك من قال إن الشيخ مقبل والشيخ ربيع والشيخ الألباني يسعون إلى سحب البساط من تحت هيئة كبار العلماء ليكون لهم الكلمة دون هيئة كبار العلماء، والذي قال ذلك موسى الدويش أحد المدرسين في الجامعة الإسلامية قال هذا الكلام، ونقلت الكلام إلى الشيخ مقبل رحمة الله تعالى عليه، فقلت له هناك من يقول كذا وكذا، فقال لكن العلماء الكبار لا يقع هذا في نفوسهم، يعني هيئة كبار العلماء لا يصدقون مثل هذا الكلام ويعلمون أنه كذب. وهكذا ما كنا نعلم وإلى الآن إلا أن الشيخ مقبل رحمة الله تعالى عليه والشيخ الألباني رحمة الله تعالى عليه والشيخ ربيع حفظه الله سائرون في دعوتهم على ما سار عليه هؤلاء العلماء الكبار، الشيخ ابن باز وابن عثيمين والفوزان وغيرهم. فهؤلاء كلهم أرواح يعيشون في جسد واحد و سائرون على قلب رجل واحد بحمد الله تبارك وتعالى. وكذلك بذل أهل البدع جهدا كبيرا في التكتم على دعوة الشيخ وإظهارها بمظهر التصغير والتحقير حينا، أو أنهم هم الذين يبرزون في الساحة وكأنهم تلاميذ للشيخ ومتكلمون باسمه، فلا يحاولون أن تخرج أخبار دعوة الشيخ إلى خارج اليمن، فهم يتكتمون ويخفون دعوة الشيخ إخفاء بالغا. وطلبة العلم وشيخهم في اليمن مشغولون بالدعوة إلى الله عز وجل، وخروجهم من اليمن قليل، فلهذا ما ظهرت دعوة الشيخ بعض الظهور، لا أقول كما ينبغي، بل بعض الظهور إلا في السنوات الأخيرة. وكان في خروج الشيخ من اليمن للعلاج خير كثير لإظهار دعوته وبيان منهجه ولقائه بمن لم يكن يلتقي به. ولكن بارك الله فيكم، هذا أمر لا يستمر، أعني التكتم الإعلامي الذي يسلكه المبتدعة لكبح دعوة الشيخ وإضعافها وحصرها على مناطقها، هذا لا يتم، فإن الخرق يتسع على الراقع شيئا بعد شيء.
Another means or strategy that the innovators used to fight against the da'wah of the Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah is one of the statements that they make, that Sheikh Muqbil and Sheikh Al-Albani and Sheikh Rabi', they want to clear the way for themselves and so that they will have the position amongst the people and pull the rug from under the kibara ulama, or the major scholars. And this statement was made by Musa Dawaish, one of the teachers in Islamic University of Medina. And Sheikh Abdulaziz Al-Burri, hafizullah, said he related this matter, or this accusation, to the Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah, and Sheikh Muqbil said the kibar ulama, or the grand body of scholars, would not be affected by this whatsoever. Would not be affected by this whatsoever, and they would know that this is a lie. And this was the case, he said. And it's no doubt that the da'wah of Sheikh Muqbil and Sheikh Al-Albani and Sheikh Rabi' is the da'wah that is the same as that of Sheikh Ibn Baz and Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen and Sheikh Salih Al-Ban and others. For he said they're like one soul in one body, or they're like all men, all those men up on the heart of one person, or all those men together having the same heart, or the heart of one person. Their da'wah was the same. Another method that these innovators and these Hizbis would use is to belittle the da'wah of the Sheikh sometimes, to mention in a very nasty and negative and derogatory manner. At other times they would do the opposite. They would claim that they were the talamid, or the students of the Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah, and therefore they would they are the ones who have the legal right to talk on his behalf. Another method they were used was to hide the da'wah of the Sheikh, so that much information about the da'wah would not get out of Yemen, or that what would get out from Yemen would be something that was not true, or was not reality, or would give the wrong impression about the da'wah. And since the Sheikh rahimahullah was busy with giving da'wah, and since the students were busy with giving da'wah in their areas and busy in studying knowledge and teaching knowledge, and they did not travel much outside of Yemen, then this had its effect to a degree. This sort of like media closure that they were doing, in a sense of hiding the da'wah of the Sheikh. But he said the fact that when the Sheikh in the last of his life, rahimahullah, had to go outside of Yemen for treatment, this was a blessing in a sense that it spread the da'wah of the Sheikh, and the people became aware of the Sheikh, rahimahullah, and the people who had not met him got a chance to meet him and therefore learn about his aqidah, learn about his da'wah, learn about his minhaj. So this means of hiding the da'wah of the Sheikh would not continue. As they say, it is out in the open now, and the people and the creation are learning the reality of the da'wah of the Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah.
مما بذله أعداء دعوة الشيخ في تشويه دعوته أنه يكفر الناس أو يسب الناس، هاتان تهمتان كثر ترديدها عن الشيخ. فأما تكفير الناس فنحن نتحدى من يأتي بشخص واحد قال الشيخ عنه بأنه كافر بدون أن يكون هناك دليل شرعي يدل على كفره، وإذا كان هناك من يدعو إلى التمسح بأتربة الموتى ويدعوهم من دون الله ويذبح لهم من دون الله وحكم عليه بأنه كافر أو مشرك، فما ذنب الشيخ؟ هذا حكم الله عز وجل في من يدعو غير الله ويذبح لغير الله وينذر لغير الله وينذر لغير الله، هذا حكمه. فإذا كان كفر بعض ضلال الصوفية أو الشيعة ممن وقعوا في هذه الخصال الذميمة التي هي شرك وقد حكم عليها بالشرك، أهل السنة قاطبة، فما شأنه إذن أن يخصص بهذا؟ نعم، وهكذا بارك الله فيكم ما يدعيه بعض الحزبيين من الإخوان المسلمين أو جمعية الحكمة أو السروريين، والسروريون يتسمون في اليمن بجمعية الإحسان. هذه الطوائف الذين يقوم بعضهم بحصر أسماء العلماء كما يدعون، الذين تكلم فيهم الشيخ مقبل رحمة الله تعالى عليه، لا سيما وهم يسردون في أسماء هؤلاء العلماء الترابي والغنوشي وسيد قطب وحسن البنا وغيرهم يذكرون هؤلاء في جملة العلماء. فنقول لهم: فليكن الشيخ مخطئا إذن، أرون شجاعتكم أنتم، تكلموا عن هؤلاء الذين تسمونهم علماء، لا أقول سبوهم ولا اشتموهم، ولكن قولوا فيهم ما يقربكم إلى الله وما ترونه حقا. فهم ماذا سيفعلون؟ إما أن يمدحوا أهل باطل، وإما أن يقولوا بقول الشيخ. فإن تشجعوا وتكلموا في كل إنسان بما يستحق وأظهروا ما هو عليه، فإن فعلوا ذلك سيمدحون أهل باطل ولا شك، فإن سبوا وتكلموا فيهم بما هم عليهم من الضلال، فما الفرق بينهم وبين الشيخ إذن؟ وإن مدحوهم وأثنوا عليهم فقد مدحوا أهل باطل، وإن سكتوا ولم يتكلموا فما نصنع لهم، إذ جبنوا وتشجع الشيخ وصدع الشيخ بالحق. لقد تكلم الشيخ مقبل على صبغة الله مجددي، فصرخ عليه الإخوان المسلمون صرخة رجل واحد أنه يسب المجاهدين، وما هي إلا أيام وإذا بهم يقولون بقول الشيخ مقبل أن الرجل عميل لأمريكا. وهكذا بارك الله فيكم، كان عبد المجيد الزنداني يقول عمر بن الخطاب وعمر بن عبد العزيز وعمر البشير. فالآن بعد أن حدثت الفتنة بين الترابي وعمر البشير، فليت شعري ماذا سيقولون في هذا الرجل الذي نعلم أنه رجل عسكري تهمه دولته وكرسيه، وليس مباليا بغير ذلك إن جاءه الكرسي عن طريق الترابي أو عن طريق غيره. إنما الشاهد من ذلك أن هؤلاء الذين يقولون إنه يسب العلماء إنما هي وسيلة لتنفير الناس عنه، حتى أن أحد السروريين يقول إن الشيخ متشدد في الجرح كابن حزم، كان بإمكانه أن يقول كشعبة، فشعبة متشدد في الجرح ولكنها وسيلة للتنفير، فشعبة محبوب عند الناس، فليأتي برجل مبغوض عند أصحاب المذاهب لأنه ليس بشافعي ولا حنبلي ولا مالكي ولا حنفي، وهو ابن حزم مبغوض عند الجميع، فشبهه برجل مبغوض من أجل أن يجتمع الناس على بغض الشيخ. وهكذا من هذه الوسائل التي يكيدون بها، والله عز وجل من ورائهم محيط.
Another statement that they use, the innovators and the people of Hizbiyah, to fight the da'wah of the Sheikh, is the accusation that the Sheikh rahimahullah was in a habit of declaring people as kuffar, in the habit of cursing people, and so on and so forth. And this is something that they say. And Sheikh Abdul Aziz Aburni hafidhahullah says he challenged anyone to bring one person, this is a challenge, one person who the Sheikh rahimahullah has in fact declared as a kafir, and has done so without any evidence from the legislation that in fact proves that the individual is a kafir. So you won't find that. But rather what has happened is that those who make tawaf around graves and who rub the tombs and who slaughter at the graves and who makes dua at the graves and so on and so forth, the Sheikh from amongst the Sufi who are astray and the Shia are astray, if the Sheikh calls this shirk and say that those who do it are mushriks, or this is kufr and those who do it are mushrik, what is the fault of the Sheikh in this regard? For this is what all of Ahlul Sunnah say, so why should the Sheikh rahimahullah be the only one accused of this issue? Is it agreed that those who slaughter to other than Allah and swear by other than Allah and take vows by other than Allah and make dua to other than Allah, that they have fallen to shirk and that they are mushriks? So what is the problem in this regard? Then he said there are those amongst the Hizbis, whether it be from Ikhwan Muslimin, or whether it be from Jamiat al-Hikmah, or whether it be from Surur, the Sururis in his country are known to be from the Jamiat al-Ihsan. He said nevertheless, they are those who come with this accusation that the Sheikh curses the scholars. And those who they are talking about are the likes of Turabi and Ghanushi and Sayyid Qutb and Hassan al-Banna. He said that we would say to them that speak yourself
regarding these individuals, but speak the truth regarding them. And what will you say? Either they're going to say the truth, which if that's the case, then they will agree with Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah regarding these individuals, or they're going to lie, and therefore they will be supporting Ahlul Batil, or they're going to be silent. And in the case of the silence, we say that you are the ones who are the cowards, and the Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah was the one who was courageous. He says, it is examples of this, that eventually they come to agree with the Sheikh rahimahullah and what he has said regarding these people. Like when he talked about Sikratullah al-Mujaddidi, that he was and the Sheikh criticized them. Then when he criticized them, they tried to say that the Sheikh does not support jihad and he's talking against jihad. And then a year or so passed and they themselves started to say the same thing regarding this individual, saying that he worked for the government and so or the American government and so on and so forth. And he said, then you had Zandani saying that there are three Umars, Umar ibn Khattab and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and Umar al-Bashir, the head of Sudan. He said, and then later on they came to the same criticism that was known about him, that this man was just a soldier who wanted the seats of power, whether he could get it from upon the lines of Turabi or some other way, he didn't care, long as he got that. Now that they are fighting over these issues, now Turabi and others and Zandani and others are criticizing him in this regard. So this is their so-called accusation that the Sheikh Rahimullah curses the scholars. As you see, it has no weight to it whatsoever. Amongst them are those who tried to accuse the Sheikh Rahimullah, saying that he's hard and difficult in his jarh, that he's like Ibn Hazm. One of the sururi said this. And he didn't say like Shu'bah, because Shu'bah is someone loved and known, and even though he's strong in his jarh, they wanted to compare him to Ibn Hazm because Ibn Hazm is someone who was hated by most of the people of Madhahib. Because Ibn Hazm, as you know, was not of the Shafi Madhab, nor the Hanbali Madhab, nor Hanafi, nor Maliki Madhab. So many other people in Madhahib hate him or dislike him. So this sururi, by saying that he's like Ibn Hazm, was in this respect trying to make the Sheikh Rahimullah disliked by those individuals. He said, but Allah Ta'ala is aware of their plotting, and Allah Ta'ala sees everything that they do.
البعض يقول إن أعداء الإسلام يكيدون لكم جميعا أهل السنة وغير أهل السنة فلما لا يسكت الشيخ عن الكلام في المخالفين له جمعا للكلمة واستعدادا للكفار الذين يكيدون للإسلام جملة فنقول لا يسع الشيخ السكوت ولا يسع غيره السكوت عن أهل الباطل ولقد كان أهل الباطل موجودين في الزمن القديم أيام ما كان الإمام أحمد والشافعي والبخاري وغيره من الأئمة يتكلمون في المبتدعة ويتكلمون في الضعفاء ويبينون ما هم عليه وكانت الفتوحات الإسلامية قائمة والحروب قائمة وأعداء الإسلام يبذلون جهودهم بل إن أعداء الإسلام كانوا في أيام النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم يكيدون للمسلمين من جميع النواحي فما تأنى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عن أن يقول عن المنافقين بأنهم منافقون وسأضرب لكم مثالا لو أن طبيبا من الأطباء خان الطب وذهب يصرف علاج العين للكبد وعلاج الكلى للأذن ورجل عنده رمد يفعل له عملية في بطنه وهكذا يضرب بالعلاجات ضربا هكذا لا يسع الأطباء السكوت عليه فالجاهل من الناس يقول يا أيها الأطباء ما لكم هذا عنده شهادة معمدة من قبل الحكومة مثلكم وعلاجه يصرف من الصيدلية مثل علاجكم ولم تنتهي مدته هذا كلام العامة الجهال الذين لا يفهمون معنى الطب ولكن الأطباء الفاهمين الحاذقين يقولون لا يسعنا السكوت هذا يلعب في أبدان الناس ولهذا أمثلة كثيرة في كل مهنة من المهن إذا خانها أصحابها.
He says, some people say, why do the Sheikh talk about others and the mistakes of the others? Is it possible for him to be quiet in this regard, since it is such that the enemies of Islam don't only plot against the people of Sunnah, but they plot against all the Muslims?
So since we have all the same enemy and they're all against us, isn't it better that he would be silent regarding the mistakes of his brothers and like this? He said this is a statement that is false. It is not permissible of the Shaykh, was never permissible of the Shaykh rahimahullah to be silent about the people of batil, about the people of falsehood. And he having that, the great Salaf as examples, in the time of Imam Ahmad, in the time of Imam Shafi, in the time of others of these Imams, there were things that were going on in the Islamic world and enemies that were attacking the Islamic world, yet this has not stopped them from talking about the batil and the falsehood and exposing the falsehood and the batil that others were involved in. And in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the enemies of Islam were plotting to destroy the Muslims, but this did not stop the Prophet sallallahu alayhi from talking about the munafiqeen and their nifaq and so on and so forth. He says he gives an example of this also with medicine and doctors. If there is a particular doctor who wants to use the medicine that should be used for the liver and he wants to use it for the eye, or the medical practice or for the remedy of diseases in the stomach, he wants to use it for the chest or so on and so forth, taking things out of there, being deceitful in his practice of medicine, doing it up on the right and sound principles and doing it any way he wants to do it. It would not be permissible for the doctors or other people of medicine to be silent about him. But he said the general people would say, why are you talking about this doctor? He has a certificate or a degree from the government like you, and his medicines are provided from the pharmacies just like yours, and so on and so forth. He said this is a general person who doesn't understand what this doctor is doing, nor the science of medicine. But those who have the science of medicine and those who are the true doctors will say, look, this man is playing with this matter and playing with the bodies of people and the health of the people, so we can't be silent about this issue. And he said you can take that and base any type of profession upon that, and you will understand the fact that the people of Haqq and the people of Sunnah cannot possibly be silent about the falsehood of the people of innovation.
وبعد هذه المحاولات الكبيرة جدا من قبل أعداء الله وأعداء السنة لضرب دعوة الشيخ فقد باءت بالفشل والحمد لله. فالشعب اليمني بحمد الله أثنى عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم بقوله الإيمان يمان والحكمة يمانية وبغير ذلك من الأحاديث المبثوثة في كتب السنة، فقد تقبلوا دعوة الشيخ بصدر رحب، وأصبحت مراكز العلم الآن أكثر من 30 مركزا في صنعاء وفي مأرب وفي الحديدة وفي ذمار وفي تعز وفي إب وفي عدن وفي حضرموت، انتشرت بهذا الانتشار الواسع، وكل مركز فيه طلاب علم يقيمون فيه، إضافة إلى المساجد في القرى وفي المدن التي أئمتها من أهل السنة من طلبة الشيخ أو من طلاب طلابه من أحفاده في العلم. وإضافة إلى ذلك أن القائمين على المراكز يتنقلون في الدعوة إلى الله في المدن والقرى وإقامتهم في المراكز للدروس، يلقون الدروس على طلبة العلم المقيمين لديهم وتنقلهم في المحاضرات في المدن وفي القرى، مما يجعل كل مدينة لا يمر عليها في الغالب أسبوع واحد إلا ويكون فيها محاضرة أو محاضرات لهؤلاء المشايخ القائمين على المراكز أو لأحد من تلاميذهم الذين قد استفادوا في العلم، إضافة إلى التأليف والتحقيق. فلقد نزلت إلى الأسواق عشرات الكتب لطلاب الشيخ أو لطلاب طلابه، مما يجعل الناظر مبهورا سواء من أهل السنة أو من غيرهم، أن تكون هذه الثمرات وجدت في هذا في هذه الفترة الزمنية القصيرة، وهناك دعوات أخرى تقوم ثم تتلاشى كدعوة الإخوان المسلمين التي دخلت تقريبا في عام 48، لعلها قبل 53 سنة دخلت إلى اليمن وهي الآن إلى التراجع، كذلك ما حصل لأصحاب جمعية الحكمة الذين أقامهم في اليمن عبد الله السبت وعبد الرحمن عبد الخالق، واقتطعهم من طلاب الشيخ واستمالهم بالمال حتى كونوا هذه الجمعية فباءوا بالفشل وانهاروا، وهكذا الآن السروريون ولهم نشاط واسع في اليمن، فهم السروريون من شتى بقاع الأرض ينظرون إلى اليمن نظرة إمعان، لأنها دولة يوجد فيها السلاح في أيدي المواطنين، ولأنها بلد كثير يعني جبلية وعرة يستطيعون أن يعيشوا فيها لو حصلت لهم قلاقل وفتن مما يصبون إليه، أو أنها أرض زراعية أيضا يستطيعون أن يزارعوا وأن يكتفوا ذاتيا في شماريخ الجبال لو حصل لهم انقلابات مما يصبون إليه. على كل حال هذه الدعوات باءت بالفشل، ودعوة الشيخ رحمة الله تعالى عليه مستمرة في الازدياد وفي الظهور، ودروس قائمة والمحاضرات قائمة وانتشارهم مستمر، ولو كان لديهم المئات من طلبة العلم المستفيدين لكانت أماكنهم معدة لهم أن ينتقلوا لإقامة مراكز جديدة، ولكن لا نحب أن يقوم طالب علم بمركز حتى يكون على فائدة، فالنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم نهى عن بيع التمر حتى يبدو صلاحه.
So the Sheikh Hafidhullah says this is some of the greatest efforts that the enemies of the Da'wah of the Sheikh had, but nevertheless by the grace of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, the people of Yemen have accepted the da'wah, many of them, the da'wah of the Sheikh, and have opened their hearts to the da'wah of the Sheikh. This is in accordance with the du'a of the Prophet, or the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in many ahadith sallallahu alayhi wasallam in many ahadith regarding Yemen. He said iman is Yemani, the iman is connected to Yemen, and hikmah, the wisdom, is Yemani. So this is one of the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam praising the people of Yemen. So the sunnah is something that has been accepted, and they have opened up their ears and their hearts and their minds to the da'wah of the sunnah. To such a degree that 30 centers of learning have been opened in various places of Yemen, Sana'a and Ma'arib and Hudayda and Hadramaut and Ibb and others that he has mentioned of the locations in Yemen. They each have either a student of the Sheikh, one of the ones who was a direct student of the Sheikh, or a student of the Sheikh, Mukbir Rahimullah, and what was called his grandchildren from amongst the students over the camp. And this to be also connected to the various masajid are there, for the masajid are many there. So the da'wah is spreading, and there are centers of learning. And these people, along with their centers of learning that they have, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, they move with the da'wah, and they travel with the da'wah, and they go into the various cities and environments and villages of the da'wah, or of Yemen, to give the da'wah. To such a degree, he said that you can say that every city each week is visited by a lecture or many lectures from the students of Sheikh Mukbil, or from the students of Sheikh Mukbil Rahimullah. So the da'wah spreads. The da'wah is spreading. And he said not only that, the lectures and lessons that are given, but also many books have been written, either by the students of the Sheikh Rahimullah or by the students of the Sheikh. Many of these books you find now in the marketplace, and they are available to be purchased. And if the people look at them and they are surprised as to how did all of this come about in such a short period of time, and how this was achieved by this da'wah to the sunnah. Whereas groups like Ikhwan al-Muslimin have been there almost 53 years or more and they have not made any real progress, and as a matter of fact, they're backing up. And there are other groups like the Jama'at al-Hikmah that Abdullah Sabt and Duran Khalik developed to pull some of the students of Sheikh Muqbil with their wealth and with their money, using their wealth and their money to pull them, and no one is listening to their da'wah. And the Sururis have a great effort of trying to get in to Yemen and affect the da'wah in Yemen, because they see Yemen as this place where the inhabitants of Yemen and the people who live in Yemen carry weapons. And they have, strategically, it's a good location because it has mountains. And if they started some fitness in some other land and try to overthrow governments like they do and so on and so forth, they could go to Yemen and live in those mountains. And in those mountains also there's air for vegetation and agriculture and to raise food and so on and so forth. So they figured this would be a place that would be good and beneficial for them. But with all of that, you know, their da'wah has been in a state of loss. And the da'wah of Ikhwan Muslimin has been in a state of loss. And the da'wah of all these individuals have been such, and that the da'wah that is established, and the da'wah that is calling the masses, and the da'wah that is achieving something, is the da'wah of the Sheikh Muqbil Rahimahullah, and the centers of learning established by his students or the students of his students. He said, and if they were to accept everyone who wanted to come there, they could open up hundreds of centers. But he said, this is not what they do, for they want that the student of knowledge who will be over a particular center, that he develops and matures before he do such, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not allow the selling of dates until they were well ripe.
هذه الدعوة المباركة قام بها الشيخ بحمد الله جل وعلا وطلابه وأحفاده في العلم بنفقة أهل الخير، لم يقم به ملك ولا رئيس ولا وزير ولا حزب من الأحزاب، وإنما هي بجهود الخيرين سواء من اليمن أو من المملكة أو من بريطانيا أو من أمريكا أو من غيرها من الدول، من الخيرين الذين أخذتهم الغيرة على دين الله جل وعلا، فبذلوا أموالهم للقيام بالدعوة إلى الله عز وجل. وتعلمون أن صاحب المال لو أحب أن يدعو إلى الله بماله ما استطاع إلا أن يجد أهل العلم، وصاحب العلم لا يستطيع أن يتفرغ لنشر العلم إلا أن يتعاون معه صاحب المال. فهكذا الدعوة إلى الله قامت، صاحب العلم بعلمه، وصاحب المال بماله، وصاحب الجاه بجاهه، حتى صاروا كاليد الواحدة أو صاروا كاليدين يشد بعضها بعضا. ويوم أن عرف أعداء الدعوة ذلك سعوا سعيا حثيثا في تقليص الموارد المالية على الدعوة، فلربما زاروا بعض من ينفق على الدعوة إلى بيته أو إلى دكانه أو إلى متجره أو مؤسسته لإقناعه بترك الإمداد، وقدروا على إقناع بعض، والله عز وجل يفتح ما يشاء من الموارد. فهكذا كما قال الله عز وجل عن المنافقين، لا تنفقوا على من عند رسول الله حتى ينفضوا، وإن كان بعضهم لا يصل إلى درجة النفاق الاعتقادي ولكنه التتلمذ والاقتباس، فأعداء السنة دائما يأخذون مبادئهم من غير المسلمين. فعلى كل حال هذه طريقة سلكوها ولا يزالون يسلكونها إلى الآن في التضييق على دعوة أهل السنة. ومركز كمركز الشيخ مقبل حفظه الله تزيد نفقته في الشهر الواحد على 20,000 دولار، فيه قدر 3,000 طالب و600 أسرة، بل أكثر من 600 أسرة يقوم الشيخ بالنفقة على الجميع، وهم مستمرون إلى الآن. وهكذا مركز كمركز الشيخ محمد بن عبد الله الإمام الذي فيه قدر 1500 طالب وفيه أكثر من 300 أسرة يقوم بالنفقة عليهم. فهذه المراكز وما شابهها من المراكز الأخرى التي يقل عددها عن هذا العدد الهائل كلها قائمة على نفقة الخيرين من المسلمين الذين أعانوا الدعوة في نشر الحق وفي نصرة التوحيد وإظهار السنة وبيان الحق للناس حتى نفع الله بهم. فينبغي لمن كان ذا خير وذا مال وذا قدرة أن يمد يد العون للدعوة إلى الله عز وجل في اليمن، فإن الله عز وجل هو الذي يسير الدعوة، وهو الذي يحرك النفوس، وهو الذي يهيئها، وهو الذي يهيئ من يشاء إلى دعم الدعوة والقيام بها. ولكننا مقتنعون أنه لا بد أن تكون يد المسلمين واحدة، صاحب العلم بعلمه وصاحب المال بماله وصاحب الجاه بجاهه، وكل واحد له عند الله عز وجل فضل وله خير. فرب إنسان يحب الدعوة ولا يستطيع أن يسلكها، ورب إنسان أعني لا يستطيع أن يسلكها بمعنى أنه لا يستطيع أن يكون داعية إلى الله لانشغاله في أعماله، ورب إنسان يحب العلم ولا يتيسر له ذلك. فكل من بذل شيئا في سبيل ذلك فهو مأجور.
This da'wah, the da'wah Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah, who spins up on it and how is it pushed or supported materialistically? He said this is done by the Sheikh rahimahullah, used to be done by the Sheikh and by his students, and by the spending of righteous people, Ahl al-Khayr, good people, who wanted to spend upon the da'wah or the call to Allah tabaraka ta'ala. And this da'wah, the da'wah has never been supported by the kings or the rulers or the presidents or wazirs of any country, but rather by Ahl al-Khayr, by people who are good, rather be from Yemen or from Saudi or from America or whatever place, these people sent their money or give their money for the sake of Allah, because they are concerned about the deen of Allah tabaraka ta'ala. And they want that the deen of Allah be established, so they use their wealth. And this is the way that it is done, that the person of wealth, if he wanted to give da'wah by himself, he could not do so just with his wealth. But he is in need of a person of knowledge who can spread that da'wah and to spread that deen. And a person of knowledge is in need many times of wealth, so that he can spread the knowledge. So they are like two hands that support and work with one another. Everyone helps the da'wah in accordance to his circumstance or his situation. The person of knowledge helps the da'wah with knowledge. The person of wealth helps the da'wah with wealth, with his wealth. And the person of position helps the da'wah with the particular position that Allah has blessed him with. So they're like two hands, like we said. The enemies of the da'wah of the Shaykh rahimahullah realized this early on, that his wealth was coming, or money or support for his da'wah was coming from people of good. So they will go to these individuals, those who were spending upon the da'wah of the Sheikh, either in meeting them at their houses, or going to their businesses, or going to their foundations, and saying to them, look, stop spending upon the Sheikh. And they will give them various reasons why they should stop spending. Don't give your money to the Sheikh and his students. But Allah tabarak ta'ala open up whatever resources he wants to open up. Some of them listened to them and stopped spending, and some of them did not. This is in accordance with what Allah tabarak ta'ala said about the hypocrites. Even though these individuals, we say, have not reached to the level of hypocrisy in their belief, but they take from every source other than the source of Kitab and Sunnah, so they take many times from even the munafiqeen in their behavior. When it says, the munafiqeen say, don't spend upon those who are with the Messenger of Allah, salawatullahi wa salam alayhi, until they run away from him or leave him. So this was their way of dealing with Sheikh Muqbil. They wanted that those individuals that were giving money, that they don't give money to the Sheikh, so that the students would leave the Sheikh and the da'wah of the Sheikh would not have any lasting result, or would not continue. He said this is even up to today they are doing this. even up to today. He said they tie the tighten up on the sheikh and upon his students. Right now, and he says, or before the sheikh passed away and up to today, that the markaz of the sheikh, the center of the sheikh, rahimullah, needed to be spent at least $20,000 a month upon by the sheikh, rahimullah, upon the 3,000 students that are there and the 600 or more families that are there. The sheikh, rahimullah, would spend this upon them from himself. Similarly, the center of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, al-Imam, which has over 500 students and 300 certain families, he spends from them. So this is what we need to do, he said. We need to spend up on our brothers. We need to support the da'wah with our wealth. If we want the spread of the haq, the truth, we want the spread of tawheed, we want that the sunnah be apparent and shown to the people. If we want to help the sunnah, if we want the deen to move, then we must support it with our wealth. For there's many people who want to give da'wah and are able to give da'wah. They don't have the ability. But they have wealth, so they should give wealth. There are many people who want to busy themselves in study of knowledge and achieving knowledge, but they don't have the ability. But they have wealth, so they should use their wealth. Each one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with something. This with his knowledge, this with his money, this with his position. And all of us have been blessed, and we should use that for the sake of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And give for the sake of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to support the da'wah in Yemen and the da'wah of the people of sunnah and tawheed and upon those upon the way to Salaf Saleh throughout the world. The alim or the scholar with his knowledge. The person giving da'wah based upon knowledge with his da'wah. The person who has wealth with his wealth.
Khitaman, innama dhakarna لمحات عن دعوة الشيخ ولا نستطيع الاستقصاء وهناك أحد طلاب الشيخ وهو الأخ أحمد بن منصور العديني الذي كان ألف من قبل كتاب رفع اللثام عن دعوة القرضاوي في الميزان أو بهذا المعنى وله ترجمة للشيخ مقبل في نحو 400 صفحة وهي ترجمة قيمة جدا وقد أطلعنا عليها وهي ستطبع قريبا إن شاء الله وستجدون منها شرحا كاملا عن حياة الشيخ ودعوته إلى وفاته ومما ينبغي أن يذكر أن بعض أعداء السنة قالوا إن الشيخ رحمة الله تعالى عليه كان سبب وفاته سرطان في اللسان عقوبة له على كلامه في الناس ولكن هذا لم يكن سببا لوفاته ولو كان سببا لوفاته لما كان كافيا في هذه التهمة التي قالوها فالشيخ مات بسبب تليف في الكبد وعطل ذلك المرض بعض الأجهزة الأخرى التي أدت إلى وفاته وهي كما قال القائل تعددت الأسباب والموت واحد وبهذا أكتفي والحمد لله رب العالمين.
He said in closing, these are just some of the glimpses regarding the life of that great Imam, that great Sheikh, Imam of Yemen, Sheikh Muqbil bin Hadi, rahimahullah. And one of his students, the one who wrote the book regarding Qardawi, Ahmed al-Mansur, has written the life of Sheikh Muqbil in detail. And it amounts to over 400 pages. And he said he showed it to him, Sheikh Abdul Aziz al-Bur'i, hafizahullah, and he looked at it and he found it a very beautiful book, and that it will be printed soon, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Another issue he mentioned in closing is that some of the enemies of the Sunnah said that the death of the Sheikh was caused by cancer of the tongue due to the many times that he talked negatively about people. And of course, this is not the reason, but the reason of the death of the Sheikh was known. As he said, a liver, a problem, or a disease, or whatever. And as the poet says, that there might be reasons that are collected together that cause the death of a person, but the death is one. So this is basically what he wanted to say at this time. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Su'al, kayfa kana wafat al-shaykh wa man hadara mawtuhu rahimahullah, mawtihi rahimahullah. How was the death of the sheikh and who was with him when he passed away?